we're getting on. Right, a couple of weeks ago, we have a teaching group. So the teaching group meets once every kind of 6 months or so to kind of talk about what we're going to do in not just in church on a Sunday, but all the other things that we try and do around training and equipping within the church. So we've been running this thing called the Foundations Program. So we ran the Shape course. We're running the Sacred Rhythms at the moment. We're running Freedom in Christ. And all these things kind of fit within the sort of remit of the teaching group. And so while we were talking, Alan was telling us about some research that someone's been doing into the church in Scotland. Now, the results are not actually available yet. Otherwise, I'd give you all the details. Because I asked him and he went, oh, no, they're not out yet. So they're coming out in August. But what they've been doing is they've been looking at the church in Scotland and they've been looking at common characteristics in churches that are in growth. Now, don't get me wrong, the church in Scotland is still in pretty dire straits, and growth itself is not the only indicator of health in a church, but there is hope, and we believe in hope, and we believe that God can and will turn around the church, and there are churches that are actually in growth in Scotland. And because we're at the teaching group, Alan was telling us that they've come up with these 9 things. I don't know what the other 8 are, but one of them he was telling us was the fact that the churches that are in growth usually have what's called expository preaching. Good, solid Bible teaching is still a hallmark of churches that are in growth. Now, you may or may not be surprised to hear that. Theologically, I'm not all that surprised, but I think I was quite surprised practically and in the reality of the church today, which probably says a lot more about me than it does about research. Now, you might be wondering, well, what exactly is expository preaching? And this is maybe more likely, you've got an idea in your head, but it's not necessarily a positive one. And certainly, preaching in Scotland does not have the best reputation. Too many people have sat through bad preaching, bored and lifeless preaching, and expository preaching isn't that. I could probably waste a whole morning talking about a good theology of preaching, but this is not really the time or the place. So I'd rather talk about hot dogs. Imagine that Scripture is like a hot dog. Some preachers will take a hot dog and they will tell you all about the hot dog. They'll tell you how it's made, which may put you off. They'll tell you about the ingredients that go into the bread roll and into the sausage. They'll explain about the different grains that go into making the perfect hot dog mustard. They may even tell you how to go and make your own hot dogs during the week. And this is all a good thing. Other preachers will take that hot dog and they'll show it to you. And they'll tell you a funny story about that one time that they were at that barbecue and that funny thing happened and everyone will laugh appreciatively. And then they'll tell you how you need to make sure during the week to crack the windows in your car so that you don't end up with a hot dog. Yeah, see, the jokes are all here today. An expository preacher will take a hot dog and show it to you. And they'll probably tell you a little bit about how it's made. And they may tell you a funny hot dog story, because we've all, I'm sure, got funny hot dog stories. And then they'll hand you a hot dog, and they'll let you eat it. To put it another way, an expository preacher will take a piece of scripture, and his main points will be the main points of that scripture. So why am I telling you all this seemingly pointless story? Obviously, you know, I find it interesting, but that's not really the time and place. I'm telling you because the writer to the Hebrews, which we're studying at the moment, is engaged in expository preaching. And I've said before that Hebrews often feels more like a sermon than a letter. And it's really obvious when we look at today's passage, which is actually part 2 of a piece that began last week, because the author is taking his hot dog, he's taking a piece of scripture from Psalm 95, and then he's exposing it to his listeners. He's showing them what it means and how it interacts with their lives. And so last week, Alan was speaking on Hebrews 3, kind of verse 7 through to the end of chapter 3. And he starts at the very beginning, and we'll read it in a moment. And he talks about this passage from Psalms, and then he begins to explain it. He begins to open it up, and he begins to encourage his listeners to go beyond just what's there, and he begins to really grapple with it and what it means to them, particularly them as Jewish Christians. And so I'm gonna read it to you, but in some ways, although it's going to come up on the screen behind us, and you've probably got your Bible with you, in some ways it's almost better to listen to it, because I kind of feel that that's how it best comes across. And in some ways I should probably start at chapter 1, verse 1, but we really don't have that much time, so I am going to start where we started last week, in chapter 3, verse 7, and we'll read all the way through to chapter 4, verse 13. And this is how it reads. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, this is Psalm 95, it says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, 'They always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.' Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it said, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion.' For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not those who left Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. The good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest,' although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, 'And God rested on the seventh day from all his works.' And again, in this passage, he said, 'They shall not enter my rest.' Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David, not so long afterward, in the words already quoted, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." I could pretty much end there. He's done a good job. And so what he's doing is he's taking this psalm, Psalm 95, and he's opening it up and saying, look, do you see what this means? And do you see what this means for us? He says to these people, do you realize that the good news is the same? Good news hasn't changed. Now, he's talking to Jewish Christians. We've just had the whole thing with Jesus, and they're kind of going, well, actually, Jesus is the Messiah. And he's saying, do you realize that this good news that Jesus brings is the same one that was in the time of Moses. It's not changed. It's the same good news. And they heard that good news and it didn't benefit them. And he talks about this thing of God's rest. And what he's saying actually God's rest is salvation. It's eternity. And the promised land is not it. It's not the end of the story. And this is really important if you're Jewish, because the promised land was a big thing. And the whole story of Moses leaving Egypt through the wilderness and then into the promised land, and this idea that they had this land, and then they kind of fell away and they got kind of went off to Babylon and all these other places, and now they're coming back and they've still got this temple. This is just before the temple's about to be destroyed. This kind of symbol of what it was to be Jewish. And he's saying, do you realize that the promised land, that was not the answer? That was not the end. If it was the end, then David wouldn't have said this hundreds of years after Joshua to say that actually, today, do not harden your hearts. Today, you need to enter. Today, you need to enter into God's rest. God's rest is not the promised land. God's rest is eternal salvation that comes through Jesus. And he's quite clear that some do not enter. And another thing that really kind of comes through in this passage is the idea that we see quite a lot in the New Testament of things that can be grasped now, but at the same time, we're not yet there. That we can see heaven on earth, but actually there's still heaven to come. That we can have salvation now, but there is eternity to come. This tension of we can have this thing right now. It's just there. Kingdom can come, but it's not yet. And this rest that he talks about, we can experience a taste of it, but we cannot see the full of it. For the Jewish people, this was actually the time of wilderness. They had experienced freedom. They had been set free from Egypt. And they wander around in the wilderness and they get to the promised land. And they send in a team of spies and the spies come back. And 10 of them say, oh my goodness, the giants in this land are massive. We do not have a chance. And the other two say, my goodness, the fruit in this land is massive. We're going to love it. And they chose not to listen with faith, but they chose to stay in the wilderness. And so, although they had experienced freedom, they never had the full of it. And for us today, so many people hear the good news and they love the idea of freedom. But when it comes to actually receiving salvation, they see the giants and they turn away and they miss out. And it's the biggest tragedy the world has ever seen. The number of people who have heard the gospel in our generation and in the generations before, in a world that has spent so much of its time in the Western world having the Bible taught and having the gospel spoken, and yet so many people have heard it and will not enter the promised land and will not enter the rest. And this passage says that the word of God is active and it is sharper than a two-edged sword because it cuts us to the quick. And today is the day. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. It was true when David said it. It was even truer when the writers of the Hebrews said it and said, don't make the same mistake that our ancestors did and wander around in a wilderness and fail to enter the fullness of the promised land. And for us today, recognize that for those who hear and receive the word, this is as bad as it's going to get. This world, for all of its pains and problems, and for all the giants that we experience when we come to faith, not going to. This is the worst it's ever going to get. The promised land is going to be amazing, so much better than we could imagine. But we're also surrounded by people for whom this is the best it's ever going to be. That it's never going to get any better than they receive on this earth. Today is the day. Do not harden your hearts if you hear his voice. Very real. It's very sore. The word is sharp and it cuts and it hurts. Do not harden your hearts. Today is the day. If you hear his voice today, do not walk out that door, because it is a massive mistake. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day when Jesus will say, yep, I will take you. It can be the now. Let's pray. Father God, we know how much we enjoy a rest at the end of the week, how much we look forward to the end of the week and having a rest. How much greater is your rest? How much more important is your rest? Today is a day of salvation. We cannot harden our hearts. We must not harden our hearts. If we have heard your voice, it is too important. It is too real. Lord, I want to pray that you would come now, and just as your spirit spoke to David when he wrote the words in that psalm, just as your spirit spoke through the writer to the Hebrews when he brings this to the Jewish Christians, I want to pray, Lord, that your spirit would come and speak through my words and through your words, and it would speak into our hearts, and people would hear your voice and would not be hardened, but would be broken. That you would be able to lift them up, lift them out of the wilderness, place them in the promised land, that you would restore us, that you would change our lives and change our hearts, that we would not see the giants that may come, but rather see the fruit that will come. Come, Lord Jesus. Move among us. Speak to us. Show us again your love. Let us hear again your word. Know that this is good news, but that we cannot pass it by. In Jesus' name.